Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Welcome to another edition of Taekwondo Life Magazine Live. Taekwondo Life Magazine is a member of the Believe Sports Network. Believe is the number one sports and podcasting network for professionals. Do you believe? My name is Mark Sirianis. I'm your host. I'm a third non-black belt, and I'm the editor-in-chief of Taekwondo Life Magazine. Please be sure to check out our podcast everywhere that podcasts can be found, including Believe.com. Today on our show, we are talking with 1988 gold medalist, Taekwondo practitioner, Hollywood stunt person, motivational and inspirational speaker, and author Dana He. Dana He has just published a book, a look at her life, One Step with Courage, the story of my life from Olympic gold medalist to Hollywood stunt woman. It is a great book, and it is more than that. It is the story of a woman of great accomplishment, of great humility, of great skill, who went from living a life described by her as a life of a mentality of I can't, abandoned, kidnapped, abused, neglected, to standing in 1988 in Seoul, Korea, atop the Olympic stage, receiving the gold medal on behalf of herself and on behalf of the U.S. Olympic team, to becoming a Hollywood stuntwoman working on Charlie's Angels, Terminator 2, Mortal Kombat, the Batman movies, Lethal 4, and so much more. Dana He and I share, among other things, among our love and our practice of Taekwondo, we share the fact that our coach, my grandmaster, is one and the same, Grandmaster Hyun Hwan Park. I found this interview to be particularly inspiring, as was her book, which is available everywhere that books can be found, Amazon and other booksellers. I believe that her life as a true Taekwondo inspiration can be used to show people that when you set a goal in your mind, you set a plan, and you set out, you can overcome great adversity, great challenges, and great setbacks to achieve great things. I hope you enjoy listening to this episode as much as I enjoyed talking to Dana He.
Okay, so we are talking today. I'm very honored today to have a very special guest, Dana He, who is, among other accomplishments, she is one of a handful of gold medal winners for the United States in Olympic Taekwondo. She is an author. We have her new book, One Step with Courage, which we'll talk about, which is a wonderful book. I just finished it. And she is a great book. And she is a film and stunt person, and she's worked on films, including very topical right now. She worked on the original Mortal Kombat, but it now we have this year coming up a reboot of that film. We share a circle of people, my grandmaster, my coach for many years, actually going back to around the time that you were in the Olympics, is Grandmaster Y.H. Park. We have,
hi.
Yeah, wonderful.
Shout out.
He sent his regards. And we have had a longstanding relationship with Grandmaster Herb Perez, one also a gold medal winner from the U.S. team, and from Jay yes. Warwick. Jay Warwick is somebody that we have who's now who works for USA Taekwondo, among other things, and Jay is a good friend of the show. So thank you right. Thank you for talking to us. So where are you coming from? What part of the country?
I am in New Mexico.
Oh, wonderful.
And let's see, I've been here for about 2 years now.
Oh, that's great. That is great. How are things with the, is New Mexico one of the places that's more open or still relatively locked down in terms of the coronavirus?
I would say it's more open. It's not that bad.
Okay, that's great. So
what about New York?
No, New York is very very we're very locked down over here. Still the surrounding area is starting. You know, we have a lot of contacts in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania's open, and I saw in Florida they have the first scheduled actually live sparring event, which is the first one since in a year. So I see there are parts of the country that are starting to open up, and we're watching heavily. Yeah, we're watching Tokyo very heavily because it's still going to go on. It's still going to be the athletes are still going to convene in Tokyo for 2020, but it's going to be a different kind of Olympics, I think.
Yeah, I just really hope it goes through.
I do too. I think it's maybe what the world needs, you know, and maybe a little bit of a different format, but I think it's what the world needs. So I was in doing my research, I realize that you're only one of you're only one of six gold medal Taekwondo athletes for the U.S. Taekwondo Olympic team, which is very impressive. And the majority of those were in 1988, actually. So very, very impressive.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about what...
Yeah, matter of fact, we were number one in the world for the women's team in United States, and number two in the world overall.
Amazing. I mean, that was still a time when South Korea was still so dominant in the world of Taekwondo. And for you guys to accomplish what you did in light of that, you know, now it's much more global than it was. Even though there were a lot of teams that competed, Taekwondo is really practiced at a high level in so many places around the world. But for you guys to accomplish that in the 80s was really quite significant.
Yeah, I think so. I think so too. And things have changed a lot since then, and it's a completely different sport now. And absolutely. I would say sport.
Absolutely. And I come from a very traditional background in Taekwondo, so there's a balance between the sport and the art. But in watching the competitive aspect of it, the focus has become so much more on speed than power. And now with the electronic scoring and, you know, I think they're still trying to find their way in terms of trying to have fairness, have an element of the fact that they want to give something that's interesting and exciting, but watchable from the viewer's standpoint. But it is a very, very different than it was in, you know, in the 80s.
Yeah, absolutely. And who's to say what's good or bad?
Sure.
You know, I think it's more interesting now with the parameters of what's happening with the, you know, the competition. But I miss the element of power.
Sure. I agree. I absolutely agree. I'm somebody whose speed was never my best friend. So power was always the a great equalizer. So I absolutely understand that. So I went back and watched some of your 88 Olympic reels and your Olympic fights, and it was extremely impressive, especially in light of the fact that you didn't come from a lifetime of training. You know, now today people get involved in Taekwondo from, you know, being small children, and they train with the Olympic goal in mind. That wasn't your journey. You got involved, you know, late compared to people that are Olympic athletes today, and the amount of training that you had. So was it a natural aptitude that you think in terms of your athleticism and your ability to train, or was it a product of what do you attribute it to, the success in terms of your training? Or was it just an unbelievable, and because your book, we'll talk a little bit about that, has such a conveys such passion for that level of achievement and accomplishment.
Right. I think the main reason that I achieved success, had to do with Shotokan. I started out in Shotokan, and sorry, I've got my dog with me.
Oh, that's okay. We love dogs.
This is Bambina.
Nice.
The thing with Shotokan is it really is a precision to detail and power and strength. And I think that those are the attributes that were my strengths when it came to winning the gold medal.
That makes sense. It makes perfect sense. Tell me about, again, for I'm going to hold up your book. We'll do a little commercial, but the book is One Step with Courage, The Story of My Life from Olympic Gold Medalist to Hollywood Stuntwoman by Danny. This was published just this year, 2020, correct? I believe it came out in 2020.
Yes.
And you can get it on Amazon, and it's a terrific look at Dana's very challenging upbringing and her success in the Olympic field, her success in Hollywood, and her success as a public speaker, and her success in life. And I encourage you to pick it up. It's a very inspiring story for people in and out of Taekwondo. It's not just a Taekwondo story. It's a very human story. So tell me about your life outside after.
It all has to do with One Step with Courage. If you can take one step, then surely you can take the next step. Because the first step is the hardest, and you might think it's impossible and there's no way that you can do it. It's just, you know, astronomically impossible. And yet if you can do that, then surely you can take the next step and the next and the next and the next.
That's great. And that's a great message. And I think it's an important message for people who, didn't have the real benefit of an unbelievably supportive network of people that pushed you. You know, I see some of the students that we have in our Taekwondo school, and they come from a very, you know, large family of people and money to support their training and support their journey, and that are able to support their passion. And you that certainly wasn't your story. So I think that your message is important for people, particularly those people who are thinking to themselves, well, I don't have those things. I could never overcome my obstacles to stand on an Olympic stage one day and get a gold medal. And you're certainly living proof that that's not the case.
Absolutely. And that is the deal, is no matter what circumstances that you are given in life, it's possible to achieve the impossible.
That's great. That's great. Did you find in the Taekwondo community, I know that there was it was an interesting time. Did you find that the community itself One of the things I've always loved about Taekwondo is the community itself. And I found that the community is in itself very familial. And I've enjoyed the social aspects and the network. And for now, it's an international network for me. And did you find that that to be the case for you in your time in the Taekwondo community?
Absolutely. Matter of fact, it opened up a whole new world. This whole revelation of what's possible out there. And it made me see things from a different perspective. When I grew up, I believed that nothing was possible, that it was impossible to do anything. And so I believed that sincerely. And I had this I can't attitude that prevailed my entire life. And by training for the Olympics, it taught me to change my perspective. It taught me to change from I can't to I can. Because what happens is you take one step and all of a sudden you go, oh my gosh, I can do this. Then you take another step and you go, oh my gosh, I can do this. And it continues over and over and over and over again, this perspective of achievement. And after a while, you really start believing it. It becomes who you are.
Well, that's you're living proof of that.
I remember I was doing a graveyard run in training upstate New York. Go figure. In the winter, and it was freezing cold and snowing and everything else. And I remember doing this, the hardest part of the run, which was up and through a cemetery. And every time that I had done the run before, I had failed. And I felt that I just couldn't do it. And in my mind, that's exactly what was happening. As I started up the run, I got up there halfway through, and my mind was telling me, I can't do this. I can't do this. I'm going to die. I'm running out of breath. I'm going to throw up. And so I quit. And my coach came up behind me and put his hand on the back of my back. And I thought to reassure me. And instead, he pushed me. And he pushed me up the hill. And I was ridiculously angry and frustrated. And I'm like, how can he do this? I'm like about to throw up. I'm about to die. How can he be pushing me up the hill? And I got so angry at being pushed up the hill that I forgot how tired I was. And all of a sudden, I reached the top of the hill. And I was like, this, you know, big bell went off in my head. Oh, my gosh. Now, if you just stop thinking how bad you are or how horrible it is, then imagine what you can do. And that was an achievement that changed my life. One of the achievements that made me win the Olympic gold medal.
That's amazing. That's an amazing story. And that story is in the book. And I think it's a very dramatic story. And I think that it's one of those stories that maybe other people may have experienced, but the fact that you were able to sort of understand that as a watershed moment in your life and be able to articulate it, I think is a very, very powerful. It leads to a very, very powerful message, which I wanted to ask you in terms of there's a lot in this book, particularly in the later part of this book, where you really do give some great inspirational advice. Is that part and parcel of what you do currently in your public speaking this chapter of your life? Is that derived from your life experiences?
Absolutely. Matter of fact, that's what my life is all about, is achieving and inspiring and improving and taking that next step with courage. And everything that I've learned in my life has to do with that one step with courage. And again, I'm kind of repeating myself, but it's like, if you can take that first step, then surely you can take the second and the second and the second and the second.
That's great. That's great. I think it can't be, you know, I think it's important. I think it's an important message. I think it's an important message to repeat. And I think more importantly, it's an important message for people to process and understand, because, again, when we look at a goal and something that seems so unattainable, but then you break it down into the smaller steps, well, then, you know, before you know it, you're at the top of the hill.
And that is exactly it. So when I looked at my goal of winning an Olympic gold medal, it was so overwhelming that there was just no way that I could conceive that it would be possible. But when I broke it down into tiny little bits, just like we do with our forms, and we repeat our form, a movement over and over and over and over again. That's exactly what I did to win that gold medal.
That's great.
I repeated the small steps one by one by one by one, instead of looking at this whole huge river that was impossible to surmount. It's like you place a stone from the riverbank, and you put it at the edge of the river. And then you use that stone to place another stone and another and another and another.
That's great.
It's a process.
That's great. And process is everything. And you're particularly, what you say holds true. It holds true in Taekwondo training. And process is how we get, you know, people look at the whole belt system, right, is designed. We could easily eliminate the belt system, but people lose sight of their progress and lose sight of, hey, you know, they want to get from one place to another to ultimately get to that black belt. So they have the miniature accomplishments along the way to encourage and to help us to understand our progress, to be able to get us to the point of ultimately, for many, you know, the quintessential goal for them is at least getting to a black belt to accomplish other things.
Absolutely.
So tell me about now. The world is such a crazy place. It is so locked down. What is in the current and in the future for you, near and far as you can tell? I mean, it's a harder conversation than I had a year ago with people, because people don't really know, but are you doing your public speaking actively now? Or are you waiting for COVID to end? What about you, work on movies, things of that nature? Anything that you can share with us or that you'd like to share with us?
I'm waiting for COVID to end. Right before it started, I was prepared to enter the international world as a woman motivational speaker. And I had actually received invitations from 12 countries asking if I would come and speak for their women. And that was right when the pandemic hit. So I think that right now I'm in a stalemate, a holding pattern. And I'm waiting for the pandemic to lift. And then I'm going to go right back out there and do what I intended to do, which is to help motivate and inspire other women at one step at a time.
That's wonderful. That is wonderful. It's a wonderful universal message. And hopefully in a very short period of time, you'll be able to use your success in sport and your success in Hollywood and your success in public speaking to be able to use that as a platform to help continue to help people. Because I know that you've helped people up till now. And like I said, you know, there's a lot of wisdom in the book, in this book. I found that I took a lot from it, as well as being entertaining and enjoying it. So it's something that we will be sure to link to when we promote this program. And I think that there's a lot of inspiration there for the people that in our universe. You know, I've been in the martial arts for a long time, and the world has changed dramatically from being a very male dominant practice. When I got involved in the martial arts, you know, it was largely adult males that were practicing. And now the real high performing people in the dojang, where I'm still in Grandmaster Park's dojang in New York, but the high performing martial artists and leaders of our school are women. They're women. They're women who, you know, they hook on to the goal of and they work really hard. They never let anyone outwork them, and they're great. And they have a great compassion and a great ability to relate to the children in many of the children's programs. And it's a different world, and it's a better world in a lot of ways. And for you, you came into it when it was not quite so open and so inviting to everyone.
Yes. Matter of fact, it was very formidable. And definitely the male gender was definitely the high point, so to speak. And I see it much more equivalent now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's great. And it's great. And you know, one of the dojang is a safe place. So it's a place where you're judged by how hard you work, and not by your race or by your ethnicity or by your gender. It really is or by your socioeconomic status. It's become really a great place for being judged by how hard you're willing to work and how much you're willing to put in and how much you're willing to give back to other people. And that's one of the things I really love about the community.
Absolutely. Matter of fact, I think it's I would say sport now.
Sure.
It used to be martial art. but I would say the sport now has widened the level of equivalent skill, speed, strength. Well, now strength is a little bit there, a little bit lacking. How would you say the ability to maneuver and change up and change your style is amazing.
Absolutely. In winding down, I wanted to ask you, because we talked a lot about your Taekwondo life. We talked a little bit about your public speaking. We didn't talk so much about your Hollywood life, which is a whole nother chapter of your life. What would you consider to be your favorite project that you worked on? I know you worked on, like I said, I know you worked on Alias, and you worked on Mortal Kombat, and you worked on so many different projects in movies and stunts. What was the one that you found to be most enjoyable, and why?
I would say the Batman Forever. They just had so much life in the animated scenes that we did. And so much like circus style ability that was going on in the background of the scenes with Batman and Robin. It was amazing. Playing Ivy, the lead character, was amazing. In her green spandex outfit with, you know, 5-inch spike heels.
And
then
great.
Doing a 20-foot backfall into the arms of 6 golden hunks. I mean, that was amazing.
Is it something that you ever could have dreamt of when you were a small girl living the life that you lived, that someday you'd be, you know, on the big screen starring in these major, you know, having major roles in these major motion pictures. You did stunt work for Charlie's Angels, for Terminator 2, for Lethal Weapon 4. Is it something that you ever could have conceived of when you were growing up?
Not at all. I have to say that I can't was ingrained in my head. And that changed from I can't to I can. And it opened up a whole new realm of possibilities.
It's amazing. It's amazing how the transformation and the subtlety of language and the way that our brain processes these things can completely change your outlook and then ultimately change your level of accomplishment. So again, you're living proof of that. It's one of the reasons why I really did want to speak to you. I want to thank you for talking to us. Danahy, you are you are to the Taekwondo community, whether you realize it or not, the gold medalists, the folks who really set the way in the accomplishments of the 1988 Olympics, together with the 93 World Taekwondo Championships in New York City, you know, paved the way for the Olympic approval. And for all those folks that compete in the Olympics today. And you are very, very much a part of that. And I thank you on behalf of the entire Taekwondo community for being such a trendsetter and a leader.
Thank you. And that is the truth. If it hadn't been for us, then Taekwondo would not be in the Olympics today. And so we led the way. We were the paving stones. And I think that's what happens in life. You learn that you can take a step and then take another step and another step and another step.
Well, Danahy, I want to thank you for talking to us. One step with courage. You've certainly taken a lot of steps with a lot of courage. This book is available for anyone who's interested. I highly recommend it. I look forward to following your success after the world sort of returns to normal, whatever that normal is. And I look forward to speaking to you again and again from a place of great sincerity. Grandmaster Park, when he knew I was speaking in the process of speaking to you, he extended his warm wishes to you. He is still a powerhouse of a man. He's about to be a grandfather and still at the Dojang every day.
He's an amazing man.
Absolutely.
And he's an example. He's an example of what is truly possible.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Somebody who also, you know, came from a very difficult place and has set his mind on goals and did it one step at a time, with one of the most courageous people that I know as well. So thank you. Thank you so much for talking to us. We wish you all the best. I'll get in touch with you as we get ready to publish this episode. But I wanted to thank you, and I look forward to following you in the future.
Thank you so much, and I appreciate it.
Thank you, Dana.
I think each of us, we lead by example. And I think that's one of the gifts that I've been given in life, is to lead by example.
Well, you've done a great job so far. And I know that you will continue to do that. And hopefully all the folks who are exposed, young women, young men, everywhere, will continue to be inspired by your courage and by the example that you lead.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Be well.
From my heart to you.
That's wonderful.
Okay. Take care.
We'll be right back.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.